was thinking of attending our study of the book of Daniel. Very interesting book. And Daniel was a great servant of God. One of the few in which the Bible does not record anything negative about that I'm aware of. We noted in the first lesson in chapter 1 that Daniel was over in the land of Babylon, having been taken captive by the Babylonians. And he's being groomed to be a counselor for the great king Nebuchadnezzar. What an honor that is. And in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So he determined, I'm not going to eat this food that will defile me. Nebuchadnezzar didn't care anything about the laws of God concerning what you could eat, what you were not supposed to eat. And he would be given food that would break God's law. And he was determined, I'm not going to do it. Well, this took a lot of courage because he could be put to death for not submitting to what the king wanted him to eat and drink. And even the eunuch that was in charge of him told Daniel, you're putting my head in jeopardy. If you look worse than the other young men who are eating the king's food and drinking his wine. Daniel proposed a trial diet of vegetables and water for 10 days. And he said, examine us after 10 days and see how we look. That's fair. And the eunuch said, okay, we'll do that. And the Bible tells us in verse 15, at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. So God was with him, and he is in very good health with his three friends. And God gave him, verse 17, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And Daniel put that special ability to good use. And that's what our lesson is about this evening, is God revealing to Daniel the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar and the fulfillment of those dreams. And we begin in chapter 2. And I hope you have your Bibles and you read along, because this is going to involve quite a bit of reading. In verse 1, now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Have you ever had a dream, woke up, and it was a nightmare, and your heart's racing, your blood pressure's up, and you think, whew, I'm glad that's not true. I'm glad I wasn't where I was dreaming that I was, or something chasing me that I thought was chasing me. But now it's hard for us to get back to sleep. We just got the adrenaline going. And so that's what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. He had this dream. It really disturbed him. And he cannot sleep because of that dream. Sleep is truly a blessing from God. To be able to get a good night's sleep. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 12, Solomon writes by inspiration, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. So a person works hard all day, comes in, doesn't matter if he has a whole lot to eat or not, but he can sleep. He's now, I've worked, I've been productive, and he just feels good about what he's done, and he can lay his head down on the pillow and go to sleep. But the rich, probably because they're worried about what's going to happen to their riches? How can I protect them from people who want to get my riches? And or either he's thinking about, how can I get more riches? Use those riches to increase my riches. But anyway, his riches keep him from having a good night's sleep. We ought to be thankful. When we have a good night's sleep, and when we arise in the morning, the first thing we should do is thank God for a good night's sleep, and for the refreshment that the sleep has brought to our bodies. How they are refreshed and energized to to meet another day. The king has this bad dream, and his reaction to that dream is one that's very severe when his wise men cannot interpret. Notice now in verse 2. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, the Chaldeans, to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I've had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. And the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. That's quite an incentive, isn't it? You better tell me, or you're going to die, and your house is going to be burned. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. And they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there's only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give its interpretation. He's asking the impossible. If you were to come up to me and said, Don, tell me what I dreamed last night. I have no idea. Well, if I were to ask you, you tell me what I dreamed last night. You have no idea. And so, they're just befuddled as to what we're going to do about this. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there's not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magicians, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. So, you're asking us something that no human being can do. It's never been asked before. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, we're told, For the things of a man knoweth no one save the spirit of the man that is in him. So what you're thinking, I don't know. I hope you're thinking about Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar and the dreams. But we don't know. I don't know. I know what's in me. I know what I'm thinking. But you know what you're thinking. But it says the things that the man knows are in him, and only his spirit knows what is in him. Verse 12 says, for this reason the king was angry and very furious, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. It's going to include Daniel. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time, that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel sets before us many good examples, and this is one of them. We need to go to God and seek God's counsel and his advice, and ask him for wisdom and for understanding. In James 1 and verse 5, if any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and doesn't reproach, and it shall be given him. And that's something I ask God for on a daily basis. Give me wisdom. Help me to discern right and wrong and to make the right choice. And so Daniel, first thing he does, he goes to God and asks God to help them to understand what the dream of Nebuchadnezzar was and the interpretation of that dream. We'll begin reading verse 18. That they might seek the mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret. So Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings, he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might. You have made known to me what we ask of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand." So when we go to God in prayer and we beseech him to help us with some particular problem we're having, give us wisdom how to handle that problem. And God gives us the wisdom. He helps us to overcome the trial and temptation. Then we always stop and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for answering my prayer." And look to his word. He's not going to give it to us directly in a vision like he did Daniel. But wisdom is found in the teaching of God's word. Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom and how valuable it is. And true wisdom comes down from above. This is real wisdom that we need to have because it's from our Creator. And so Daniel thanks God for answering his prayer. Verse 24, then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation." And Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said to him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation." I'm sure Arioch was happy about this and relieved. I mean, he don't have the distasteful duty of killing all these wise men, astrologers. And now he's going to get out of that responsibility. And he takes Daniel to the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king." One of the things that made the king so angry is I'm sure that these wise men would say, "Well, we got a direct line to these idol gods. Our idol gods give us wisdom and knowledge that other people don't have." And so they were looked upon as having this supernatural knowledge. Well, if you've got supernatural knowledge, tell me the dream. Well, you can't do that. But Daniel worshiped the true and living God who knows all our dreams. He can tell you what you dreamed last night, what I dreamed. And so he reveals to Daniel Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Verse 28. "But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these." And so God knows. He knows the future. And this is going to prove in these verses that God knows the future. And that's what makes him the eternal God, the one and true living God that we should worship with reverence and with awe. In Isaiah chapter 46, be reading verses 9 through 11 of Isaiah 46. "Remember the former things of old. For I am God. There is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. What majestic words. I am God, and there's none like me. And God's going to show how he can prove that he is the creator, and there's none like him. Declaring the end from the beginning. He knows how things are going to end. When you have a project you want to start, sometimes we don't know how it's going to end. But God does. He knows the end from the beginning. From the beginning of anything, he knows how it's going to come out. And from ancient times, things that are not yet come are done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. There's no question about it. No doubt. If God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. If he doesn't put any conditions to it. And we were talking this morning about Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. No conditions were attached to it. He didn't say, if the Jews accept me as their Savior, Messiah, and Redeemer, then I'm going to set up my kingdom. That's not in there. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's nearby. And it's going to be established. And man cannot keep it from happening because God didn't make it dependent upon it. Man's actions. Getting back to Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel speaking to him about his dream, telling him what it was. Verse 29, as for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. So God's telling you the future. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for your sakes, who make known the interpretation of the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You know, Daniel could have said, O king, I'm about to tell you your dream. I'm the wisest person on this earth. Nobody else can do that but me. Daniel didn't have that attitude. He gives God the glory for what he's about to do. Make sure that the king knows, I can only tell you this because it's revealed to me by the God of heaven. 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, if any man glory, let him glory in the Lord. We should be willing to tell others what good things God has done for us. God's done many wonderful things for me. And you look back over your life, you can think about things that God has done for you. And we should be so thankful. And we shouldn't hesitate to give God the glory and the honor for what he has been able to accomplish through us that we could not do without his divine help. Verse 30, but as for me, the secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom. It gives it God the honor. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. A great image whose splendor was excellent stood before you, and its form was awesome. Some versions have his form was terrible. When we read the word terrible, we think about something that's bad and horrible. That's not what this word means. And the New King James has the word awesome. I like it because I know what awesome means. And that's what this image that the king saw, it was awesome. This image, head was of fine gold. Its chest was arms of silver. Its belly and thighs of bronze. Its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff in the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are the king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beast of the field, the birds of the heaven. He has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. And you are his head of gold. Wow. Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of gold. Because God has put you in that position. Verse 38. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, and so forth, you're the head of gold. Verse 39. And after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours. Then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crumbles, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. This dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. So here you have this dream. The head is the Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom is that of Babylon. And then there'll be the Mede and Persian kingdom, represented by the silver of the arms and the chest. And you'll read about it in the sixth chapter of Daniel. They come into power. And then after that, there'll be the Grecian kingdom under Alexander the Great. He's just going to rule over all the nations and dominate them. And through his empire, the Greek language will become universal. And their culture, their civilization, making it easy for the people to understand the Greek language. That was in the fullness of time that God devised all of this. And it's going to be in the days of the kingdom that of iron. That would be in the Roman Empire. And we find that the kingdom was established during the time of the Roman Empire. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, and then notice in chapter 3 and verse 1, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, so here's two Caesars that are named in the Bible, and we know that Rome was in control at that time. When the kingdom was set up, it said that a stone should be cut out of the mountain without hands. It means this is not of human origin. It's not by human power and might that this kingdom evolves. It's by God's divine wisdom. He is behind it. And it's going to be a kingdom that's not going to be left to other people. Jesus will be the king. He's the sovereign ruler of it. And he's the only ruler. Because our precious Lord does not die. He is the King of Kings. And so that shows the wisdom of God to know what kingdoms were going to come, what order they would come. Let's go to Daniel chapter 4. The king has another dream. Verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. And I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion from generation to generation. So here's Nebuchadnezzar, tell him now about what had already happened. But he's doing it to glorify God. He said, I'm going to tell you about this God and how wonderful and great and powerful he is. How mighty his wonders and his kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. And so here's the vision. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house, flourishing in my palace, and I saw a dream that made me afraid. And the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. So he's about in the same condition again. Another dream and not able to sleep. Therefore I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me. And it goes on to say that they couldn't tell him the interpretation of the dream. This time he tells them the dream, but they still can't tell him what it means. And so he brings in Daniel, verse 8. But at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom the spirit of the Holy God, and I told the dream before him. So he reveals the dream that he told to the wise men, he tells it to Daniel. And Daniel, by God's help, is able to give the interpretation of the dream. The dream that he had, according to verse 10, I was looking and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. What a mighty tree. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and it was food for all. And the beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. And I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. And he cried aloud and said thus, chop down the tree, cut off its branches, strip off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Let the beast get out from under it, and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of gold and bronze, in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let him graze with the beast on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast. And let seven times pass over him. Another very picturesque dream. And he's going to undergo a great change. This is really a miraculous change. From the heart of a man to the heart of a beast. So he needs grass. And that grass can sustain him. And so he tells this to Daniel. And Daniel gives the interpretation of that dream. Verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. Whoa. King, you're not going to like what you're about to hear. And Daniel didn't really want to tell the king what God has revealed, because he knows this is going to be something that's going to embarrass and humiliate the king. But the King Nebuchadnezzar, to his credit, said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered, said, my Lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concern your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, in which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of the heavens had their home. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion is to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree, destroy it, but leave the stump and the roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, that the dew of heaven let them graze with the beast of the field, and seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation. It was going to be given to Nebuchadnezzar because he was so arrogant, full of pride, and he needed to be brought down. God's going to bring him down. He's going to make him live like a beast. Goes out into the field, verse 26. And as inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you. After you come to know that that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. So, king, just straighten up your life, quit sinning, and perhaps you'll live longer. This came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about in the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" Just listen to the pride. He's really full of himself. He says, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling place by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty. Look what I've done. Look how great my kingdom is." And while the word was still in the king's mouth, the voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. The hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, he ate grass like oxen, his body was webbed with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. That's quite a picture, isn't it? What has happened to this proud, arrogant man? He's living like an animal. You know, sometimes people say, "You know, you're living like an animal." Well, he really did. He was out there, the mighty king of Babylon, eating grass, and nails become like eagle's claws. It's these feathers like. What humiliation! At the end of time, I never dared to lift up my eyes to heaven. My understanding returned to me. And I bless the Most High and praise and honor him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" Nobody to call God into question. He doesn't have to answer anyone. Nobody has that authority and that power. I say, "God, what have you done? Why'd you do that?" You know, when a child misbehaves, and mama says, "Come to me," and she says, "What have you done?" He can say, "I don't have to answer you. You don't have any authority to ask me what I've done." He needs to learn real quick who's in authority. Oh, yes, you do. I ask you a question. I want to know what you've done. You're going to answer me as to what you've been doing. But nobody can do that with God, because we're not equal with God. God can do what he wants to do and will do what he wants to do, and no one can restrain his hand. And so at the same time, reason returned to me. For the glory of my kingdom, my honor and clear and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me, and I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. It's amazing that, you know, he didn't lose face, but it seems as though he's honored even more once he regains his senses. Now Nebuchadnezzar praised, extolled, and honored the King of Heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Oh, the king knows that. Here is the mighty king, the most powerful man on earth. And God made him live like an animal. And he finally got the message. "God, you are the supreme ruler. You are far superior to me. You give the kingdom to whomsoever you will. You can raise kings up and you can put kings down. And you know God is still in control. He's still the ruler of this universe. He hasn't abdicated any of his power. And we ought to worship him with great reverence and honor. but just who our Lord is. The mighty one who created this whole universe in 6 days. It's marvelous. It is just marvelously and wonderfully designed. Do you see that God is responsible for all your good qualities that you possess? All the ability that you have? That you have it by the grace of God? The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and reading verse 10. For by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And we can all say, by the grace of God I am whatever I am, whatever I've accomplished. Whatever ability I have is by God's grace and mercy, His favor. God has made me what I am. He's given me this opportunity. He's given me the strength to be here this evening. He has given me my brain I can use and work to understand. Whatever we have, whatever abilities, somebody might be very good at playing an instrument. God gave me that ability. Very good at playing some kind of sport. God gave it to you. Somebody may have ability to make wonderful grades. Watching this guy on Jeopardy. He's won over $393,000, I believe. And he's still going. He's 23 years old. He's just marvelous. Wow. Amazing. He just seems to have knowledge on about any subject he talks about. And it just amazes me. But who gave him that brain? God did. That's where his ability comes from. And we ought to always thank the Lord for what we have. I hope we realize to some extent how great God is and how dependent we are upon Him. For in Him we live and move and have our being. In the 5th chapter, Daniel tells Belshazzar, God holds your breath in His hand. He holds our breath in His hand too. And He can crush it if He so desires. But by the mercy and grace of God, I'm still breathing His air that He has made. So that I can have the oxygen that my body needs. How foolish if we think we can defy God and we'll go untouched. How foolish if you think you can hide from God and He can't see you what you're doing. How foolish you think that God's not aware of what I'm thinking. Yes, He is. God is all powerful, He's all knowing. And the only show of wisdom when you submit to His power and His wisdom is for your good. God's commandments are for our good always. We need to submit to His terms of pardon for our sins. By God's grace, He's given us those conditions. He's made it possible for us to have the forgiveness of our sins by the blood of His Son washing away our sins. Have you met those conditions? Don't think that you can be saved apart from submitting to God's will. Will you come and stand and sing for your encouragement?